My sisters and brothers, in the name of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ, good morning and welcome to our service of worship here this morning. Blessed are you, holy ones, who are up an hour early. You know, come on, it's an hour. Give me a break. I am glad that you are here. Thank you so much. I am a little concerned that we're all a bunch of right-wingers this morning. I don't know why we're sitting over on this side of the sanctuary. This side didn't have electricity overnight or something. I don't know. We'll figure that out. We have a number of announcements in your bulletin. I hope you will pay close attention to them. We could have that. Notice the Lenten journey calendar thing. I hope you're doing some of these. Some of these are actually very interesting. And I hope you are availing yourself of the opportunity to join in the Wednesday Lenten study, both in the morning in person and in the evening by Zoom. There is information in the bulletin about that and on your website. Also, if you like, if the service went too fast for you on Sunday, not only is my manuscript available, normally I think it gets posted on Monday, is that right, Chris? On Monday. But there is also now a video of the service that is available as well. So you can watch the entire service, part of it, send it to a friend who couldn't be there, send them the link. I'm sure that would be greatly appreciated. Please remember that our per capita is $37. That's $37 per active member. The church pays it to the presbytery. It supports the presbytery, the synod, and the general assembly ministries of our denomination. So if you can share that with us, that would be a wonderful, wonderful thing. Please note the Feed My Starving Children coming up next month. I am registered for that. I hope you will be registered for that. Also, the calendar on your little insert. Today, starting today, I like to get to know my congregation. It's hard to do that. I realize, who is this guy? Do we really want to invite him over for our best cordon bleu or spaghetti bolognese or whatever it is you make for company? An easier way to do that is to be here at 1 o'clock. There's a sign-up sheet outside for this Sunday, next Sunday, and the Sunday after that. I'm limiting this to 6 to 8 people. I'd like to get to know you. You probably have some questions about me. 30 to 45 minutes. But there's also an opportunity to do that on Zoom during the coffee hour as well. So again, look for that Zoom link. Notice the committee meetings that are coming up next week. Also on Wednesday at 6 o'clock is the nominating committee. Nominating committee, 6 o'clock Wednesday. You know, friends, this is a good church. We are a good church. When new pastors, when pastors who are looking for a church, there are a couple of things they look for. One of those things is, are they financially stable? Does the church have mountains of debt or not? We are a financially stable congregation. Most pastors want to ask, do they have a history of mission? And we do. We have a history of mission in our community and beyond. You saw the video last week. You see the information about Feed My Starving Children. But one of the other things that prospective pastors typically look for is, do they have strong leadership? Is there strong leadership in the congregation? The nominating committee is meeting next week. Hopefully then we will start reaching out to people that the Spirit has led us to be leaders in the congregation in the coming months ahead. If the nominating committee calls you, please give prayerful consideration to what they are asking you to do. If it's something you've never done before, you feel it is totally outside of your wheelhouse, don't worry about it. We have training. That's part of my job, is to help us all understand what is required of leaders in a congregation and to do that smoothly and well. The most important thing that we need in leaders in a congregation, do they love the Lord? Are they committed to being a part of this part of the body of Christ? Those are the two most important things. Everything else we learn. Nobody is born being a natural leader. All leaders are developed over time. But you have to bring the love of God and the commitment to being a caring member of this part of the body of Christ. And if we do that, everything's golden. Have I missed any announcements, Kim? I did it all this week. And I did it an hour early. We want to admire that. My friends, we are gathered here to praise and worship God, the God who loves us in the past, in the present, and always. Let us prepare our hearts and minds to worship God.
Good morning. Let us join now in the call to worship. The Lord is our light.
Light of darkness and overcome.
Jesus Christ is our salvation.
Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life.
Together, let us worship our life-giving God. Let us now pray the prayer of adoration. The Lord is our light and our salvation. Whom shall we fear? The Lord is the stronghold of our living. Of whom shall we be afraid? When evil people surround us, whether to reduce us to the path of righteousness or to attack and belittle us, they shall all stumble and fall. Lord God, thanks, we praise your holy name. Amen. We'll now be singing the opening hymn, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise.
hear now the call to confession. From generation to generation, God has extended mercy and love. Trusting in God's faithfulness, let us make our confession to God and one another. Loving God, you have formed a covenant with us, committing yourselves to us and inviting us to walk with you. Yet we have resisted, seeking other companions, going in different ways, thinking that we know best. Now we find ourselves far from life, further still from you. Have mercy on our waywardness. Help us find our way back. Give us faith so that we can hold the hand you have extended to us, Jesus Christ. God, forgive us. Lord, hear our prayer.
My sisters and brothers, be at peace, knowing that God has heard our confession and God has removed our sins from us as far as the east is from the west. I declare to you in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, we are indeed forgiven. Will you join me now in proclaiming what it is we believe about the goodness of God using the words of the Nicene Creed? We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of the Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of the Father, and he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And we believe one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And we look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please, you may be seated.
The Old Testament lesson for today is from Genesis chapter 15, verses 1 through 12, and then later, verses 17 through 18. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, You have given me no offspring, and so a slave born in my house is to be my heir. But the word of the Lord came to him, This man shall not be your heir. No one but your very own issue shall be your heir. He brought him outside and said, Look towards heaven and count the stars, if you are able to count them. Then he said to him, So shall your descendants be. And he believed the Lord, and the Lord reckoned it to him as righteousness. Then he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you from Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess. He said to him, Bring me a heifer 3 years old, a female goat 3 years old, a ram 3 years old, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. He brought all of these and cut them in two, laying each half over against the other, but he did not cut the birds in two. And when the birds of prey came down on the carcasses, Abram drove them away. As the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and a deep and terrifying darkness descended upon him. When the sun had gone down and it was dark, a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch passed between these pieces. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, "To your descendants I give this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates."
You will notice there, I'm sure, that Sister Katie was saying Abram, not Abraham. Remember Abraham? Come on, God, I'm trying to work here. Abram doesn't become Abraham until a couple of chapters later in the text. So thank you, Katie, for getting that correct. I will try and get correct our New Testament lesson, which is coming to us from the Gospel of Luke. But before I do, are we familiar with the Nicene Creed? You know, the Nicene Creed? It was that creed that we read? Okay. The Nicene Creed is actually the most ecumenical of all of the creeds of Christendom. In America, we think of the Apostles' Creed as being the creed everybody knows and says, but around the world, it is really the Nicene Creed. It is especially popular in the Orthodox part of the world. Both the Ukrainian Orthodox and the Russian Orthodox will read this Nicene Creed. It was written in 325. At the Council of Nicaea, that's why it's called the Nicene Creed. Nicaea is a little town near Constantinople. It was revised in 381 at the Council of Constantinople and exists today basically as it was written in 381. There is one significant difference between what the Orthodox read and what we read. And if you really want to get excited about the Filioque Clause, ask me. It's fascinating, and I will be happy to talk to you for about an hour and a half sometime, okay? I think it's very interesting, the Filioque Clause. Be sure and ask on that. But reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 13, verses 31 through 35. Jesus is preaching, he is teaching, he is moving south towards Jerusalem. He has just talked about what the kingdom of heaven is like and has given a number of illustrations. At that very hour, we read, some Pharisees came and said to him, that is, they said to Jesus, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." He said to them, "Go and tell that fox for me, 'Listen, I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow. And on the third day, I finish my work.'" Got that? 3 days? 3 days? Got that? "On the third day, I finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day, I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem." Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. "How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left you, and I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" This is the word of the Lord for us this day. Thanks be to God. I invite you to stand and join in song as we praise God. Were you awake? We saw you. We saw you dozing off back there. Time. If you're the right age or you have really good taste in music, you will recognize a line from the Bangles, Hazy Shade of Winter, right? Okay, all right, never mind. So, tell me, if I turn this on, it'll work. Here we go. Tell me what you see. Yeah. You see a line with a definite beginning and a definite end. That's what those two slanty lines are for. That's to show where it ends, where it begins. It's just a straight line. It's not too long. It's not too short. Maybe on the thin side a little bit. But, yeah, nothing very exciting. It's a straight line. When I was a young soldier, many, many years ago, this is how I was taught to think about time. That time is finite. Time has a beginning. Time has an end. You only have so much of it, and by golly, you had better use it well. And if you don't get everything done in the time that is allotted to you, then fella, you are in trouble. Time. I found that to still be the case a few years later when I was working for the freight company. Trucks had to arrive on time. They had to be unloaded and reloaded on time. Packages had to be delivered on time. Time was crucial. Time was limited. You had to use it well. Does that resonate with you? Is that your experience of time? You know, you have to get to work on time. You have to finish the work on time. Reports need to be written and submitted in time, and there are no time for exceptions. Time is finite, and you better use it well. This is very much Abram's. I'm going to say Abraham because that's what I'm used to saying. This is very much Abraham's attitude towards time as well. Time is limited. And Abraham has a lot to do. He is a man in a hurry. God, where is my heir? God, somebody is going to inherit all my stuff. Who is it going to be? I'm old. My wife is old. We have no children. One of these days, a slave born in my camp is going to take my place. God, get busy. And God says, hey, it's okay. Relax. I've got this. God says, you don't worry about that. You focus on me and what I've done. I brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans, didn't I? I watched over you when you were in Egypt, didn't I? I'll take care of this. Don't worry about it. I've got it. God makes a covenant with Abraham. That's what all those animals and the flaming pot are about. God makes a covenant with Abraham, a binding promise. And this is good. It's very important. It certainly eases Abram's mind. But God's, it's okay. God has plenty of time. It seems to me that God's attitude towards time is much closer to what my attitude towards time was when I was a teenager. Maybe it was that way for you also. When I was a teenager, there was lots of time. Time was fluid. Time went backwards and forward. There was no beginning. There was no end. I've got lots of time to go out with my friends and get all my chores done and finish my homework and study for the test tomorrow. Don't worry. And I've probably got time to lay in bed another 15, 30 minutes. Was that maybe your attitude towards time when you were a teenager? I think God has a teenager's attitude towards time. That God is the Lord of time. That God moves back and forth in time. And with God, there's always time for what God thinks is important, for what God wants to do. We see the same thing going on, I think, in our New Testament lesson, in the lesson from the Gospel of Luke. In this story, Jesus is up in the Galilee. He's up in the north part of the country, the northeast part of the country, the area surrounding the Sea of Galilee. And he is making his way south to Jerusalem. And along the way, he's doing what Jesus does. He's teaching and preaching and feeding and healing and collecting quite a crowd as he goes along. Now, this is going to be very upsetting, very dangerous to Herod Antipas. Herod Antipas, he's the ruler of that part of the country, the ruler of the Galilee area. He's the son of Herod the Great. Remember, we meet Herod the Great in Matthew's gospel when Herod tries to have Jesus killed when he's still just an infant. So Herod Antipas is ruling in the Galilee, and it's not an exaggeration to say that everybody hates Herod. Okay? Herod is wisely despised. His tax burden on the peasants was crippling. He's just a horrible person. And so it's natural then that a man like Herod is going to be very anxious about somebody like Jesus being there. And so some Pharisees come and warn Jesus about this, which is interesting because we usually think of the Pharisees as being the enemies of Jesus, don't we? It's the Pharisees who are constantly questioning Jesus. But at least in Luke's gospel, there are a handful of Pharisees who have enough admiration and respect for Jesus that they come and warn him about Herod. And then Jesus sets up this very nice little dichotomy, this nice illustration, that Herod is a fox. And what do foxes do? Foxes are wily and devious, and they prey on small creatures who cannot defend themselves, like baby chicks. And what is Jesus? Jesus is like a mother hen. And what does a mother hen do when the brood is scared? And if you've ever, you know, those of you who grew up on a farm, you know this. When the brood is in danger, the mother hen spreads her wings and brings them in close and protects the brood. Herod is the fox who is out to devour the brood. Jesus is the mother hen who is trying to bring the brood under her wings and to protect them. The problem is the timing just doesn't work. It doesn't. Look again at what the text says. Jesus says, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets, how often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing." Wait a minute. And you were not willing? It sounds like Jesus has been there before, doesn't it? But again, this is Luke. In Luke's gospel, Jesus only ever goes to Jerusalem the one time. He's not there yet. He's on his way. And when he arrives, On Palm Sunday, remember the Palm Sunday parade, the people are going to be chanting, "Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord." But you won't see me until then, he says. So how does this work? Once again, Jesus is the Lord of time. Jesus is the Lord of time. The point is that Jesus is constantly reaching out to us. That Jesus is constantly reaching out to us in the past, in the present, and in the future. And what that means is there is time for us. There is time for us to come in close, to be under the hen's wings, to walk closely next to Jesus. There's time for us to change, to be the people God wants us to be. You see, friends, we don't have to be stuck. The good news of God is we are free to change. Our church can change. We can be a different kind of church. We don't have to be the way we've always been. We don't have to. I mean, nobody's holding a gun to our head. We don't have to. But if we want to, the option is there. You and I, as individuals, there is time. We can change. We don't have to be stuck. We don't have to be the way we always were. We're free to get closer to Jesus, to walk with Jesus, to be the people God wants us to be, to avoid all the foxes, the forces of evil that are out there trying to bring us down. And you know those foxes. You've seen them. The foxes of anger, the foxes of addiction, the foxes of deceit, the foxes of greed and busyness, the foxes of peer pressure and social pressure and FOMO. You know that expression? Fear of missing out. That fox. The fox of righteous indignation and the fox of always having to have my way. We don't have to be prey to them. Jesus is reaching out to us to gather us under Jesus' wings. Jesus is going to Jerusalem. And during this holy season of Lent, we are making the journey with him. And in a few Sundays, we will be there with the crowd, chanting, "Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord." But before then, let's avoid the foxes. Let's draw closer to Jesus. Jesus is reaching out constantly with his wings to draw us in close. Let us be drawn and be the people God wants us to be. God's approach to time is much more that of a teenager than it is of Abraham. You and I may live on Abraham time, but God lives on a very different time, and in God's time, there is still time for us to change, to grow closer to Jesus, to be and the people God wants us to be, to experience the life God wants us to live. And that's because God is constantly reaching out to us. Because, friends, this is how much God loves us. Thanks be to God. Amen. Friends, let us come to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious God, We come to you today seeking to be ever closer to you. May we not follow at a safe distance in the crowd, but may we be up close, being held in by Jesus' loving wings, becoming more and more the people you want us to be. Today, Lord, we lift up especially the ongoing conflict in Ukraine, and we pray for all those involved. We pray that the time of violence will cease. We pray that the leaders will be moved by your spirit of compassion and love. And we pray that the way of violence will be turned to the way of the cross. And we will all find ourselves under Jesus' loving wings. Today, in our own fellowship, we lift up Roy and Gary, Pete, Jessica, and Bonnie. We ask your watch, care, and blessings on Pat and Gibb and Arnold. We ask you to bring your blessings on Ruth and Lincoln and Jesse. And we pray that Silas and Jane, Jerry and Mary, Chastity and Joan will feel themselves held in the palm of your loving hands. Lord, we pray for ourselves as a congregation that we will continue to be a voice in this community, a voice lifting up the good news of your eternal love for us, a love that moves backwards and forwards in time, a love that says it is never too late to know how much you care for us. Gracious God, we ask all this now in the name of the one who showed us what true love is and who taught us when we pray to say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who have sinned against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. My friends, there are many ways to support the ministries of this congregation. We invite your gift in person. We invite your pledge through the mail. We especially invite you to share out of God's blessings with us electronically. However you do it, know that the Lord is blessing your generosity by making it a blessing to others. Let us receive our tithes and our offerings. Our gracious God, we bring this offering with humility and with gentleness and with the fervent desire that you will multiply these offerings, that they may extend through our community and far beyond, to let all know that there is a God who loves us and who desires to hold us close. We ask you this in Jesus' name. Amen. I just screwed that up. The benediction came first. Don't go away. Come back. We need it again. It's so good. We got to do it twice. I'm sorry. My mistake. Mea culpa. Now, remember meetings this week. All right. Please note those. Please, if you missed something from the announcements, look at the announcement sheet in your bulletin. The sign-up time to meet with me either this afternoon or the next two Sundays at 1 o'clock. I would be delighted if you would do this. Friends, know this, that our God is greater than time, that our God is reaching out to us constantly to pull us in under the protective care of Jesus' loving wings. Go now and share this good news with others. And friends, as you do so, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may God lift God's holy countenance to you and grant you God's own peace this day and evermore. Amen. Now.